Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
You cannot cancel a holiday. Man, I am glad that you are here this morning, and whether it's in the space or online, grateful that you didn't allow maybe a disruption or a change of plans to get you to believe the lie that somehow Christmas is canceled. And I do want to introduce myself if we haven't met. My name is Keith, and my wife Amy and I, it really is a privilege to serve as the lead pastors here at Blaze Church with such an incredible dream team. In fact, can we just celebrate and thank our dream team, our musicians on the stage, our welcome team, our kids team? It's just awesome. Production in the back, of course, and just so thankful for every single person making a difference to make services happen. But today, I do want to encourage you, and I mean that. Like, I really want you going into this Christmas week and then holiday encouraged by God's word. And so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because one of my favorite parts of our Christmas services is we light candles together, and we're going to be doing that towards the end of our time, but I do want to spend a little bit of time in God's word and really encourage you and speak to you directly if right now you're suffering. Like, and if the Christmas season is going to be a reminder of the suffering that you're going through and that you're facing. You know, there's something that Christmas is marked by, and I think it's Christmas lights. Like, whether you believe in Jesus or not, or you have friends or family or neighbors who believe in him or not, it seems like Christmas lights is something that most people just, they smile at least about, right? And like, you might know your neighbor, and I know that they don't know Jesus, but man, they know how to put on a good Christmas light show at their house. And it's just, there's just something about Christmas lights, and for us, that's not our house. Like, if you're that house that goes all out, you make my house look kind of bad. But that's okay, you do you. This year, I went all out, and I bought a blow-up nativity scene. And I was excited because it's one plug, somebody. It's just plug it in and it looks good and I'm just going to take it down and I did not get on any ladders or roofs or anything like that. But there's just something about Christmas lights and really it is a symbol. It does remind us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world who has come to overcome the darkness. And yet with all of the Christmas lights, I do believe that there is what I'll call the dark side of Christmas. And the dark side of Christmas is all of those hard moments that we're also reminded of, especially during the holidays. There's nothing like family getting together or trying to get together that can remind you of the brokenness, of the suffering. Maybe for you, this Christmas is going to be a little different because there's going to be someone who's not going to be there. Like, you lost them this year. It might have been due to COVID or some other circumstance. And this is going to be one of the first holidays where that seat's empty, and that's dark, it's suffering. Maybe for you it's financial, that you'll look at a Christmas tree with kids and say, we just don't have the finances to do what we normally do because of what happened this year. Maybe it's another year where you're praying the same prayer for healing, and you thought by now things would be different. You thought your marriage would be better. You thought the relationships would be restored. And come on, how many know this is true? Christmas has a way of showing us those dark moments. Like, with all of the lights, there still just seems to be, like, that darkness, that selfishness, that brokenness in humanity is still there. Well, I want to speak about that today. I really want to speak about suffering. Because every single one of us, we are going to suffer this Christmas, maybe in varying degrees. And if you're not suffering this Christmas, praise God. I'm not trying to inflict suffering on you. Hopefully, you don't think this message is suffering. But I'm not trying to say, but I am saying this. Then you can take this message and just tuck it away for a rainy day. Because I do want to be very clear. If somebody told you that following Jesus meant that you would never suffer again in your life, somebody lied to you. Like, that's just not scripture. In fact, Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have troubles. The brother of Jesus said, when you face trials and tribulations, the when implies that you will. So this isn't about just give your life to Jesus and you're never going to have another bad day and you're never going to suffer again and you're never going to get sick and no one's ever going to die and you're never going to lose a job. It's none of that. Today's message and encouragement is you will suffer, but by knowing the light of the world, you're going to suffer well. Like, that's the word I want you to get in your heart today. In fact, I want you to say this with me. I will suffer well. Let's say that together. I will suffer well. Because that's the truth and the difference that the Christmas story makes in the life of a believer. And so if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior today, The invitation is not come so that you'll never suffer again. It's come so that when you suffer, you're going to suffer well. You're going to suffer with faith in your heart to know this is light and momentary, and it is preparing for me eternal glory that I can't wait to experience. So we're going to see that even the first Christmas, like Jesus' birthday Christmas, like if there was to be one Christmas that should be void of suffering, you would think it would be his. Well, it wasn't. There was suffering there too. And we're going to look at the world that Jesus stepped into and realize that while suffering exists around us, because of Christ in us, that suffering never has to get in here. And what I mean by that is that when you suffer, you do not have to bow a knee to fear. You do not have to surrender yourself to an enemy. You do not have to be victim by whatever's going on around you. No, you have the hope of Jesus in here. And that's what Christmas shows us. So let me introduce you to the world Jesus enters into. At this point, Rome is the ruling government, and a man named Herod has been set up really as governor over the region where Jesus is going to be born. Now, he called himself King Herod, but the Jewish people never thought of him as king. He was not the king of the Jews, and he tried his best to get their approval. He rebuilt the temple that was destroyed in hopes that it would gain their respect, and they didn't respect him. Herod was a very selfish individual, and where Herod went, suffering went as well. Let me give you a little details about his life. He had 10 wives. No, did he have 10 wives? Yeah, he had 10 wives. That sounds so crazy when I say it. I'm like, this is a third service. I'm like, did I get that number wrong? Nope, 10 wives. Go on, man. I don't know about that. He had 10 wives and a whole bunch of kids. And every time that he would choose a child to be the heir of his throne, he would change his mind, execute that child, and change his will. Like, it's recorded that he changed his will 4 different times. In fact, I like this. Julius Caesar is being known as saying, I would rather be King Herod's pig than his son. It's safer. Like, that's who this guy was, with just bent on selfishness. And really, where he is, suffering is going to follow. And when we meet him, when Jesus is born, the turn of this first century, he's 70 years old. He's facing a terminal kidney disease. And he gets what would be the worst news possible for a man like this. That 5 miles south of him, apparently, a new king has been born. Could you imagine how bad that news is for Herod and for everything he wants in life? And so look at what Matthew writes for us in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Now, I just think this is funny. Could you imagine them walking into King Herod's court and say, "Hey, we're here to see the King of the Jews." You're looking at him. No. The real one. Like, they know what's going on here, and they say, we saw his star, it rose, and we've come to worship him. Now, I think scripture puts it lightly in this next sentence. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. I just think that's funny. Like, Herod's a little bit disturbed here when he hears that there are these wise men who are coming to worship another king, and all Jerusalem is disturbed along with him. What ends up happening, we're not going to read it all, but the wise men discover that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. They actually open up scrolls, and they see the prophecies that say he's going to be born in Bethlehem, the town of David, and that's 5 miles south from where they were. And Herod says, why don't you go and worship him and then come back and tell me where he is so I can worship him too? Now, let's have a little audience participation here. If you think that Herod is going to go and worship the newborn king of the Jews, go ahead and raise your hand at me. No hands. Online family, no hands going up there, I'd assume too. Herod is not going to find out where Jesus is so that he can go and worship him. And the wise men know this as well, and God warns them to go home by a different route. And we read in verse 16 that when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. You don't mess around with King Herod. And now he introduces suffering to the first Christmas. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And I want you to see that in the first Christmas, there's a government that's okay with the murder of innocent children. That there's a leader who says, if this will benefit me somehow, then I'll just have the order given that every child under 2 years old, innocent life, just taken away. There's suffering. Like, think for a moment. This is the very world that Christ himself puts on human skin and enters into. Like this dark world. And even his birth is marked by this moment. We see, look at the selfishness of humanity. Look at the hatred in hearts. Look at the darkness. Now, you might know this or hopefully expect this. Jesus did not die that day as a baby. God warned Joseph in a dream and said, you and Mary and the child are to flee to Egypt. And what I want you to realize about that moment is this. Maybe 2020 Christmas for you is looking a little different. Like maybe plans are being changed even now and things are not going how you thought they were going to go. Well, I want you to realize you actually have that in common with Jesus. Like even Jesus, like his birthday, like Christmas did not go the way his parents planned. Suddenly they're picking up and they're becoming refugees in another country and they're fleeing to Egypt and they're relying on the financial assistance of others. In fact, scholars believe it was the gift of the wise men that funded their journey to Egypt and established a new home for them. Like they're right there. Like if you're relying on others' financial assistance or you just feel like you're in a land that's not your own or just you feel like your Christmas plans are being changed, so where Jesus is. So he flees with his family, but it's not so that he will never suffer. And it's not so that Jesus could walk this earth and somehow resist and get by with never having a dark moment. In fact, he says this in John chapter 10. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. Like this is the declaration of a man who knew his mission was to come and to suffer and to give up his life. But he would not lose his life as an infant in the manger. He would ultimately lose his life on the cross, where he sacrificed it, I love that word, voluntarily. Like, I lay down my life. I want to read to you a prophecy, and it's really not a Christmas prophecy as much as we say it's an Easter prophecy. It's about Jesus, who is known as the suffering servant. And as you're listening to these words, I want you to think about the suffering that you're facing today. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's relational or financial or emotional or even spiritual that today you feel like you're in such a dark place when it comes to a walk with God. I want you to hear about the suffering that Jesus went through. The prophet Isaiah, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus would come, live, and die, said this, he was despised and rejected by mankind. Say these four words with me. A man of suffering. Like, this is the picture that Isaiah gets when he sees Jesus. He is a man of suffering and familiar with pain. And I hope that even that brings you some comfort right now. Like, the enemy would like for nothing more than to get in your head and isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one who's going through this. You're the only one who's experiencing this pain. God doesn't understand you. God doesn't care about you. God's not there. No, that's not true. Your suffering servant is familiar with pain. Like, he had his friends and family abandon him. He had people physically abuse him. He's gone through these things. He's familiar with pain. It says in this next verse that surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Now, let me show you the way that Jesus suffered. And this is where we find hope for when we suffer in this world. Here's how he suffered. But he was pierced for our transgressions. The best way I could explain the word transgression to you is it's kind of like our action sins. It's the sins that we commit with our words and with our hands. It's when we hurt another person, when we say something unkind, when we take something that's not ours. Well, what about the things I think in my heart? Well, that's, we would say, is an iniquity. He says he was crushed for our iniquities. See, maybe you might say, well, I never hurt anybody, but I really did think about it a lot. And I never actually did anything, but I had lust in my heart, and I had greed in my heart. Well, Christ, he suffered for that too. He was crushed for that. It says that the punishment that brought us peace was on him. See, especially this year, so many people are overwhelmed by fear and anxiety and worry and a lack of peace. It says here that the punishment that we deserve was placed on him. It was really put on him so that we might experience peace. Like, think about that. I believe, and this is just something that I believe the Holy Spirit especially showed me this week, that alongside this physical virus that we are facing as humanity, I believe that there is a spirit of division and a spirit of fear that is so closely aligned with this physical virus. And maybe you've experienced this in your family or among your friends, that it's like someone gets this virus and suddenly people are divided and they're hurting one another and they don't want to be around each other and they're afraid and they're overwhelmed and there's a lack of peace. But Jesus, the suffering servant, had our punishment put on him so that we might have the peace of God in our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. Like, you don't have to allow a spirit of division and a spirit of fear into your home or your heart. Christ was punished so that you might know peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Like, he has the authority over physical disease and sickness so that you and I might be healed. Now, I'm so grateful that I don't serve a baby in a manger or a dead man in a tomb, but rather our Savior is a resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this prophecy doesn't end there. It goes on to say, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Like, the suffering servant was laid down in a tomb, but he saw the light of life again, and he was satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. I want to paint a picture for you as you look at this cross. The cross is a display of great suffering and great glory. It is both and, not either or. That when we look at the cross, we see the suffering of our Savior and we see the glory that he experienced. And we find the glory that we are invited to find in Jesus Christ alone. Like, his glory, his righteousness is made available to those who confess their need for him as Lord and Savior. Here's the eternal truth that we need to know, especially in moments of suffering. God is glorious. So I don't have to fear others. Come on, we have discovered that God is good, so I don't look for my satisfaction elsewhere. God is great. And now, church, I want you to know this truth. He is glorious. You do not have to live a life of fear. In fact, say this whole phrase with me. God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. One more time. God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. It is a choice for you to bend a knee to fear. It is a choice for you to throw all of your weight on the glorious God. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I want you to picture the thing that is causing suffering in your life. Maybe it's COVID-19. Maybe it's job uncertainty. It's just a financial future that you can't see working out well. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe it's friends or family who have hurt you. What is that thing that right now you're saying just feels so big? Feels like I can't overcome it. I'm afraid of this. Okay, now I want you to picture at the same time the resurrected Savior. And with those two things in view, tell me, who it or what is more glorious in your life? Like, who is getting your full weight? That word glorious means weighty. Like, Jesus should be the most weightiest person in our lives. Like, when we face a situation, we look at it and say, I'm going to suffer through this, but because Christ is way more glorious, I'm going to suffer well through this. This will not steal my joy. This cannot take my salvation. This suffering does not end in death. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Come on, are you encouraged this morning? We're going to suffer, but in Christ's name, we suffer well. That's why Paul was able to write what we read each week. I'm absolutely, say that word with me, convinced. And I'm praying by next Sunday on part four of this, we really are. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Like, I believe that, guys. I'm convinced of that. Because of the way that Christ, our Lord, has wrapped his arms around us, there is nothing that can undo his fingers. There's nothing that can undo his grip. God's love cannot be canceled. Will you suffer in life? Yes. I share with one person after one of our services, I gotta, like, preserve this. We got one more. Like, I'm on three, but I'm like, oh, there's a fourth. I share with someone, I said, you know, it'd be so much easier to get up and just share a gospel that says, if you give your life to Jesus, you'll never suffer. And the person said, if you do that, I'm never coming back to church. He said, because that's not a gospel at all. I said, I know it's not, but it would be easier, but it's just not the gospel. But what I do know is this, when you suffer as a believer, you suffer well. You count it all joy. I'll tell you, church, this week for our family, like my wife and I and our kids, we suffered this week. It really was. In fact, I was kind of, with the Holy Spirit, I was like, you know, I could have preached this message without actually having to walk it out. Thank you very much. And he was like, well, it would not have meant as much to you. Thank you very much. And I'll tell you, like, we suffered physically with sickness. God miraculously healed us. We suffered relationally with things said to us and about us, and probably a lot of the same things that you suffer with and through, right? Can I just not be alone? Anyone here ever suffered like that? Yeah, all of us. And we gospeled each other this week with this verse. Like, we said it a whole lot. Psalms chapter 34, verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Yeah, that's worth celebrating. That's a promise of God for your life. Like, you're going to have troubles. You are going to have troubles. But at the same time, your God is deliverer, and every single trouble you will be delivered from. You might say, yeah, but I haven't talked to this family member in decades. God is deliverer. He's able to deliver you from it. Yeah, but I've been praying for this prayer of physical healing for years. God is deliverer. He's able to deliver you from it. Yeah, but I haven't felt the sweetness of God's presence in so long. He is deliverer. He's able to deliver you from it. Guys, where are we putting our faith? Because there are things I learned this week through suffering, and I'll share a couple of them with you. And they may sound like pastor cliches, but I'm a pastor, so that's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my faith in a testimony long before I put my faith in a man-made test. I'm going to follow the scriptures before I follow the science. Like, I'm not declaring that suddenly we just act foolishly and throw everything out the window, but what I read and know is that the government rests on his shoulders, not on the shoulders of any other person. Like, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm going to trust in him. Revelation says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we declare testimonies in our house this week. And I'm just here to show you and tell you, man, we can suffer well. We're not void of suffering, but because of the light of the world, we suffer well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to reflect on this truth this morning. I'm going to invite our worship team to join us, and our welcome team is going to come And what they're going to do is they're going to distribute candles to you. So I'm going to ask everyone to put their mask on as they're going to come get close and give you a candle. Now, we have what I'm calling 2020 candles this year. So to light this one, you just give it a little twist, and nobody's blowing anywhere in this room, okay? So 2020 candle is twist on and off and compliance to the online. But I do want to read this. John chapter 1, verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Come on, think about that. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We'll swap out any duds. Like, if your candle's just not lighting, just wave it. We got a dud. Here we go. We'll swap them out. I want you to understand this truth, guys. What is the darkness in your life today? Come on, maybe it's new. Maybe it's something you've been fighting for years and decades. What is that darkness? Maybe for you, you have a family member in the hospital that you're praying for. Maybe you lost a family member this year. It might be that there are children you're praying for that would come to know Jesus, and Christmas is going to remind you that they still don't. It might be healing, job uncertainty. It could be an unclear purpose in life, like another year has come and you feel like you're just living the mundane and not making a difference. I really believe that there's opportunity for darkness in every one of our lives, but the light has come and the darkness will not overcome it. Like, that's the truth. So whatever Christmas looks like for you this year, it might be disrupted and it might be changed, but in Jesus' name, it is not canceled. Like, the message of God's love is not canceled. You might be isolated at home. You might be quarantining. You might be missing family members. It is still not canceled. God's love cannot be stopped. I want to invite you to know him today. Because really, the greatest suffering and the greatest darkness is that of sin. It's what Christ was pierced for. It's what he was crushed for. It's what he was wounded for. He lost and suffered so that ultimately we would not suffer and die. And I want to lead you in a moment where you would put your faith in Jesus Christ today. Thank you. and receive one of the greatest gifts, which is salvation. Like Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's just where you're sitting with that candle in your hand. Would you bow your head and just say this prayer with me? If you've never put your faith in him, just whisper out, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, you suffered for my sins so I would not have to. I don't want to live life alone. When I suffer, I want to suffer well. I want to know that you are the God who died for me, and my sins are forgiven, and today I'm made new. Jesus, I pray for every person who is suffering today. In some way, all of us are. And so we bring our suffering to you, and we lay claim to that authority that you have given us to say that this suffering has no power in our lives, that while we suffer well, that the light of the world has come and he will not be overcome by anything. Thank you, Lord. May we count it a privilege and a joy, as James writes, in these moments, that we would draw closer to you and recognize you as way more glorious than the thing that is around us. It has no power and authority right now in Jesus' name to enter our hearts. It has to go and bow its knee at the name of Jesus. Father, right now I declare for those who have relational and family struggles that healing is coming, that restoration is coming. I pray for those who are battling sickness, disease, this virus. In the name of Jesus, it must flee. Physical healing is coming. You are the deliverer of all troubles. I pray for those who have uncertainty in life, for those who are looking at financial ruin and doubting and fear-filled. In Jesus' name, faith is rising up right now as we look to you, the light of our lives. Many are our troubles, but you deliver us from them all. In your name we pray, amen. Church family, let's stand up and let's worship Jesus. As you hold this candle, we're gonna sing this Christmas chorus. And I pray that you are encouraged today, that whatever it is you are facing, God is greater than it. Let's sing out this song together, Silent Night.